May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Well, it happens every single day. When we jump into our vehicles and roar off to work, or putter off to work, be it as you like, it happens when we go to our family physician and then follow her prescription, sometimes even submitting to a hospital stay and surgery. It happens when we fall in love and say, I'll spend my life with you. And it happens when we send our kids out into the world, backpack on, and a great big knot in our stomach. Most of the time, we don't even recognize it for what it is, but that doesn't matter. We still do it. I'm talking about exercising faith. I'm talking about practicing trust, making ourselves in some way dependent or reliant on the good faith actions, intentions, and skills of another person, someone other than us. Now, it can be a little jarring to hear it put that way, because you see, of all civilizations, we're living in the one who's bought into most heavily this line. I'm going to be my own captain. I'm going to be self-reliant. I'm not going to entrust myself to anybody else. I'm going to trust in my own judgment alone. And so it can be pretty jarring to recognize that that's not actually how we live. Now, I'm the first one to say that we need to teach our kids self-reliance. We need to teach our children and ourselves to think critically and for themselves. I mean, we live in a time when more and more people are believing in the worst and wildest conspiracy theories, believing things that are obviously not factually based. And so learning to think critically and act accordingly might just be what saves our democracy in the end. But there's also this. We know how easily and how often human beings fail. We get distracted while we're driving, don't we? We make a slip while we're cutting, or turn out to have big secrets we didn't know about or didn't tell our fellow partner in commitment about when we said I do. And when we put all of that together, it can seem pretty crazy to admit that to live the good life, the only life that is really worth living, we have to entrust ourselves, our kids, our daily commutes, even our bodies to others. So for those of you that don't come to church that often, it's instructive to note this. Words like faith and trust, they're not religious weasel words that are an excuse for believing five ridiculous things before breakfast. Rather, faith, trust, is at the core of how all human beings exist, how humans exercise their agency with one another, especially when we're living well. But you may wonder, and you'd be right to wonder this, what in the world is Dirksen on about? How does this have anything to do with Christmas? Good question. Glad you asked it. You see, once we get past the trappings, the faux romanticism of the creche scene, okay, I said that, but you didn't hear it, of angels singing, we'll get back to the angels in just a few minutes, my introduction may actually prepare us for the truly revolutionary message of this story, which is that God chooses to fully enter our experience as one who must exercise faith and choose to trust us. The extraordinary reality we celebrate at Christmas time is not that we human beings exercise faith and trust as a matter of course, as a matter of what it means to live the good life, though that may be instructive as to why the church is still very much relevant in an age of technology and science, but that's another topic. But the really confounding reality we celebrate tonight is that the infinite, transcendent being who is the reason why there is anything at all and who does not need to exercise anything approaching faith or trust chooses to do so, chooses to submit and therefore make the divine being vulnerable to our finite reality, to our, how can I be charitable, our ambiguous processes, our slightly jaundiced motivations. We have on our sign outside, "The Lord is born." But if I had been thinking straight, I'd have never let those words be posted, because it's stupendous. It's ridiculous. I mean, if somebody actually took it in, actually thought about it, they might just swerve off the road. The Lord is born? You've got to be kidding me. Infinite intelligence chooses to submit to the dangerous conditions of Caesar Augustus, of Herod, to the potential of robbery on the way to Bethlehem, to human birth in the crudities of the dirty stable, without IVs, without epidurals, and amongst the staring beasts, or so at least we imagine. It's part of our far romanticism. Luke doesn't actually say that. But if we imagine it's all stagecraft, with everything guaranteed in the end, we've not actually heard it yet. For it to be real, for it to be truly an experience of faith and trust, it must be what they call a contingent event. That is, an event that just might go terribly wrong. Now, if you want a sanitized version of Christianity, you can find it in any number of churches. But my question to you would be, why the charade? Why the charade? Why the play acting with regard to the humility and to the risk of this birth to this poor couple caught or in this dangerous place from which, from the very beginning, the authorities are out for blood? They know this infant is dangerous. Strange as that sounds. Here's what I think. Here's what I think the story's trying to tell us. God's all in with us. God's pushed all the chips to the center of the table, flipped the cards, and stood up. God's all in. There's no turning back. This is not a power move. It's an act of faith and trust. Not a secretly controlled, everything's going to work out move. Why would it be? You see, God's interested in our love, not our compliance. God's interested in our faith and trust, and therefore is willing to show us how. How will we react to God with us, Emmanuel? Well, that's the story of the church year. That's our beautiful drama played out week by week in our sacraments and in our preaching and teaching, but mostly in our relationships. And all of you are invited to participate in that wonderful weekly drama. But God is not so much interested in what was, but in continuing to move the story along, to draw our past, your past, into Christmas present, into something that truly reflects this partnership that is offered to us tonight, a God who is willing to trust you, who's willing to submit to human judgment. It's extraordinary. One more wondering. I said I'd get back to them. I wonder if on this night, the angels who sang didn't exercise their own faith with knots in their stomach. I wonder if their singing wasn't at first rather weak. Come. Maybe more like whistling in the dark, as they thought, what is God thinking? Trusting the Holy One to these creatures. These perpetual, I'll find a new and better way to screw things up creatures. But then, as they began to sing, I wonder if faith and trust in God's wisdom and in the love of God given to human beings didn't begin to swell and to rise. Now full of faith, they sang, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace amongst those whom he favors. I wonder if they don't sing through our singing tonight as we join our faith to Joseph and Mary's, as we join our faith to God's faith and say the Lord is born. What a joy. If we open our hearts just a smidgen to that, just a crack, just a little bit more than they are right now, that would be the greatest gift we could ever give our children and to each other. Then the risk of God's faith and trust will not have been in vain. Amen.